it is the flu. In some cases, we know that it's COVID or what's left of COVID. In others, they're just colds that don't seem to want to go away. So let's continue to pray for one another in that particular need. And let me suggest to you, stay safe and be wise. This is not a great handshaking season of the year, right? I like to shake hands. In Latin America, everybody likes to hug. But this may be a good time of year to just keep a little more distance, smile and nod and wave, you know, and that kind of thing. I'm not telling you don't shake hands. And if you stick your hand out to me, I will shake it. But I think we need to be mindful of that. And particularly as we deal with those who have some age or medical issues that they're dealing with as well. So let's pray for them. One of those who is dealing with that sort of thing is Sharon Scruggs, who actually has COVID, and it just doesn't seem to want to let go. I heard Joe say tonight she's still dealing with a fever, so let's pray for her. And then in addition to the COVID, we got the report that you probably saw in an email earlier this week. She's been diagnosed with cervical spondylosis, has two bulging discs, and she'll be going to see a neurosurgeon the first part of January. So let's pray for Sharon and for that process that she's going through. Patsy Morrison is dealing with another bout of diverticulitis. We want to be in prayer for her. Pete says she has some better days and some other days. So we want to pray for her. Diane Hudler, as Pastor mentioned on Sunday, is having tests this week, and we're praying for her, the process as she goes through the potential for a transplant and all of those other things that are with it. Tina Templeton has asked us to pray for her sister, Luann Wisher, who has a number of health needs. Swanee's here tonight, and Linda is not, and it's a reminder, of course, that she's still getting over that fall, and so let's pray for her. And just mobility is an issue, and pain is an issue, and all of those sorts of things, so let's ask the Lord to look after Linda. Rich and Arlene Eller, most of you know the Ellers. They come in on Sunday mornings. I sit just about in the back of the pew area there, and they've been dealing with some health issues that's kept them away. Polly Hobbs continues to deal with the results of an injury and is still in pain, and so we want to pray for her. Marina has asked us to continue to pray for her brothers and their families, for their health, for their safety in India. And Marina's knee is back, it sounds like, pretty much to where it was before. You know, it sounded like it was getting better for a little while. And we were chatting tonight, and she says probably that long airplane flight and that lengthy travel didn't help her any. You know, when you're on a plane for 18 hours? 15 hours? 15, 18, there's no difference. You know, what you're just there, right? And you're stiff and you can't move. And so it makes it worse. So let's pray for Marina. Sue is not going golfing. She's wearing a glove because she's got pain in her hand. And so let's pray for her. She's got, as we know, she deals with back issues and neck issues and that sort of thing, but she's trying to get into the doctor now so that they can look at the hand. She says it hurts so much she can't write. And you can see that the movement of it is seriously affected. So let's pray for her. Appreciate your prayers for my parents. Dad was back at the hospital yesterday, then out again, and he's just dealing with the combination, I think, of the consequences of COVID and being 80-something years old. And yesterday's problem seemed to be just severe dehydration, but he's caught in that cycle. Anything going into his mouth or down his throat almost just makes him ill. And, of course, he knows that he needs to eat and to drink to get his strength back. And so pray for him and for my mom as well. She's sort of taken a step back with this, too. I am grateful, and I'll just mention this sort of on a family note. My brother lives with my mom and dad, and he is their chief caretaker. And as you can imagine, over these last few weeks, that's almost a 24-hour-a-day duty. And I'm grateful for that. And in the same way, for Betty Ann's brother, Paul, who looks after her dad, we spent Thanksgiving with him, and he spent Thanksgiving afternoon and evening in the emergency room, was just in a lot of discomfort before he went, and they were able to help him. But he's 95 years old now, and as I think I've told you before, he just wants to go home to glory and can't get there fast enough. So your prayers for him are appreciated. But again, I'm just grateful for Paul and what he does to care for him. Dee and Tina Templeton still need our prayers for a variety of physical issues. Samuel, we're still praying for that visa. Hemachandra, any word on the job? Yes. So today you're in. Good. Well, praise the Lord. There's an answer to prayer. And when do you start? Oh, today. Well, all right. See, I'm behind. He's already started and going. So that's good. Thank the Lord for that. So we can move Hemachandra from the prayer list to the praise list. And thank the Lord for that. I know that's a great relief to him. And this means that he and his family are going to be able to stay in the area. And so we rejoice in that as well, that they'll continue with us here as part of our church family. And Samuel now is waiting for similar good news for his visa. Let's continue to pray for him and for that particular need. We have some shut-ins that we always try to remember, Tommy and Rita Baskin, for Libby, for Darla, for Vera. Is Vera still out in Montana, or has she begun to, she's still out there? So let's continue to pray for her. John and Linda, you probably saw them as they were coming in. John was voluntold that he was helping with decorations tonight. And that was the word he used. And we all understand that, right? We've all been there. But we're grateful for them. But as we know, John continues to deal with that issue. When I chatted with him last, he said that good days and bad days. He thinks some days that they're making progress and other days he's slowed up again. So let's pray for him. Let's continue to pray for Kate Christensen. This is our missionary wife. You remember Jason was just with us a couple of weeks ago. Kate had her second chemo treatment today. And so they're praying that the results will be as light, or the consequences, you know, side effects, will be as light as they were last time. And they're praying that only four more of these will be necessary and that the doctors will release her. So let's pray for her.
We've had several of our ladies are on those chemo pills.
Yeah.
Maintenance who've had cancer. And I noticed the last two Sundays, and especially this past Sunday, Kitty was weak.
Okay.
And she was, you know, struggling a little bit Sunday. Kitty Wyman, that sits on the back here, she was on the chemo pills too. I assume she still is. Carol Holloway is. And Gigi's on some kind of maintenance medication for where she had breast cancer. And I may be missing somebody else too.
Yeah, if you didn't hear that on the live stream, Pastor's mentioning those who are taking medication for cancer, and Kitty Wyman is one of the two. Kitty and Carol take something apparently very similar. And Paula.
Yeah,
Paula's taking the same thing, yeah. And Kitty seemed to be having a difficult day on Sunday, but let's just remember to pray for her, for Gigi, who's on the sort of, for lack of a better term, anti-cancer pills that have a number of side effects that are difficult to deal with. So we want to remember them. I see Tracy's here, so she's feeling better. That's good.
Hannah's here too.
And Hannah's here too? Good. So that's a praise. We've been praying for them. All right, that's a long list. What do I need to add to it? That's Winnie Bryant. This is Donna Hance's aunt, 97 years old, in the hospital, weak, and says she's ready to go. Let's pray for her. And Eliana Harkinson? Parkinson. This is Frank and Donna's granddaughter. She's got a burn injury on her hand that seems to be healing, but the doctors are concerned about scarring as that burn heals up. So let's pray for her. Or as they say up there, Advance. Advance, yeah. Advance, North Carolina. Tracy.
I
me the last name again? B-O-B-O? Hudson Bobo. He's 4 weeks old. No soft spot in his head. So they're going to do surgery. They're going to drill a hole there to relieve that pressure. And then he'll wear the helmet. And so let's pray for Hudson. Let's pray for his parents and his grandparents and everyone around him. Swanty. Oh. Word of praise, he says. He got his new hearing aids, and now he can hear his wife. Don't anybody say anything. Just because now he can hear you. Yeah. Yeah. I have so much to say right now, but I'm not going to say any of it. I saw another hand. I thought I saw another hand. Maybe it was my hand being a witness to that hearing aid thing. All right, let's pray for all of the events coming up over the next month as well. Tomorrow afternoon we'll be putting the float together for the parade on Saturday, so pray for that day, and both tomorrow as we work and then Saturday as we go out and engage with some folks in the community.
Tell them what time the bus is leaving from here.
The parade starts at 11. If you'd like to participate in the parade, please let me know so that we'll be looking for you. But we're going to be shuttling the short bus back and forth because we suspect parking is going to be tight over there. So we'll start shuttling at about 9:15 or so, 9:30 for sure, to take over the first load. We have to have everybody over there and in place by 10:30. So if you're not here by 10, you may not be able to get a bus ride. So please just let us know that you're coming, and we'll be watching for you that way. When the parade is over, obviously we'll shuttle folks back as soon as we can. If you would like to park, the parade is going to start essentially right around the post office area. Just a bit to the north back in that neighborhood is where people will be lining up. So if you'd like to park over there, you can. Just let me know and I'll tell you where to meet us. They've given us our spot now. Just yesterday we found out exactly where we're going to be, so I can help you with that. And then, of course, the following week, the 11th, our children will be doing their program as a part of the morning service. We will have our dinner that afternoon. We'll be eating together as we always do down in the gym. The church will take care of meats, ham, chicken, that sort of thing, and drinks. And the rest of us will take care of side dishes and desserts. So it's a great day to invite people to come to enjoy the children's program. Pastor will be preaching a normal message, probably on the birth of the Lord. And then we'll enjoy some fellowship together. There'll be no service that evening, since by the time we get done picking up all the tables and chairs, everybody will want to go home and take a nap. And then on the 18th in the evening, we'll be doing the Christmas cantata and cookies. And so this is a great time to be inviting folks to come and to be here. I was asked again today about Christmas Day. We have Sunday school and 11 o'clock service on the 25th, and then no evening service. So that's sort of the layout for the next 4 weeks, and I know we'll have many guests who will be in our services, so let's pray that as they come, that they'll hear the gospel, that the Holy Spirit will work in their hearts. He has promised that if the Lord Jesus is lifted up, he will draw all men to himself, and it's the work of the Spirit to convict of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, and so we're praying to see that happen. So be sure to be in prayer for all of those things. Any other prayer requests before we go to the Lord? All right, I'm going to ask Brother Samuel if you'll come and start our prayer time tonight, and then Brother Swanee, when he finishes, if you would pray, and then I'll close our prayer time.
Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, wonderful God, we thank you, we praise you for this wonderful opportunity to call upon your name at this evening hour when we have gathered together here to bring forth our requests and our prayers and supplications at the Holy Throne of Grace. Lord, we thank you, we praise you for your Son, Lord Jesus Christ, how lovingly he came into this world. Lord, even before we were born, Lord, he has prepared a great plan for us so that we sinners would not be destroyed, go to eternal hellfire, but be having a beautiful life. Furthermore, when we pass from this physical world, in that spirit we'd be reigning with you in eternity. Father, we thank you for this great provision that you have made for us. Father, we thank you for this understanding to accept him as our personal Savior. Lord, we thank you and rejoice for this personal experience we could have of our Lord through the Holy Spirit as we gather together here as a church. Lord, as we are encouraged through the word, Lord, we are also being strengthened in our spirit. Oh Lord, we thank you for all the answered prayers in the past. Lord, with this great confidence, we come to the holy throne of grace and bring forth these requests today. Lord, there are so many people who are sick in our midst. Lord, so much of pain also. Lord, some are going through difficult circumstances. So Lord, we uphold all of these people into your loving hands and commit them so that they would be finding relief, Lord, in their suffering. Lord, in their pain, be thou with them, strengthen them. Lord, encourage them through the word and fellowship. Father, we thank you, we praise you for all the plans you have for each and every one of us. Lord, we sincerely trust that you're going to make all these things beautiful and fruitful for us. Lord, we commit all those people who are called upon by name today. Lord, during the request, Lord, we commit them into your loving hands. Lord, we thank you, we praise you for all the provisions that you have granted to everyone so that openly they could call you and praise you. Lord, even as a congregation, we could gather and, Lord, worship you and praise you. Lord, we thank you, we praise you for everything that you've been doing unto us, Lord, especially in this season. Lord, as so many are being invited to come to services, Lord, we request that you may be dealing with them also. Lord, their hearts may be stirred up and they may have an open mind to listen to the gospel and accept the Lord as their Savior. Lord, we thank you for all those who could be part of this service. Lord, especially for the church staff who are working hard in these areas. Lord, give them strength, give them guidance. Lord, we thank you for pastor and the assistant pastor and the youth pastor. We commit them into your loving hands, give them heavenly guidance. Lord, as they do all the work and preparation, Lord, give them wisdom to do all the things in the right manner, which could bring you greater glory. Lord, for the past month, Lord, we've been thinking about our missionaries. We thank you for their sincere efforts in different parts of the world. Lord, surrendering their lives, sacrificing so many things, and preaching the gospel. Lord, bless their work. Lord, so many people may be reached, and so much of this evil that is prevailing around also, Lord, may not affect this particular situations and the political situations. Lord, we commit all these things into your loving hands. Lord, in the unknown time, everything may be settled when you come back for the second time. Lord, so many people would rejoicingly join with you. Oh, Lord, likewise, we request for the children who are gathering and the youth who are gathering over in this place. Lord, bless that ministry also. Lord, help the teachers also, strengthen them and use them. Lord, so many other prayer requests as we continue to pray. We commit these things into your loving hands. Lord, seeking your guidance for the pastor to release the word. Lord, we ask this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given all of us the privilege to come before your throne. We thank you that you love us and you have made us part of your family. Lord, we thank you that you hear our words, and we thank you, dear Holy Spirit, that you take more than just our words, but the intent of our heart and reveal our heart's attitude before the throne of grace. We thank you for our mighty advocate that intercedes for us every day, for every moment. Lord, we thank you that you have brought our sins under the blood, that you have cleansed us and you have purified us, and our Savior has made us without spot or wrinkle. Lord, how we thank you that you have brought purity into our life. Lord, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you that you have given us an unchanging word that can guide our steps and our thoughts and the intent of our heart. Lord, I pray that you would purify our hearts so what comes out of our mouth would be from you and of reality and of truth. Lord, we need your cleansing daily. we needed tonight. I pray you'd be with Pastor, that what he shares with us from your word tonight would cause a change to take place in our spirit and our heart, that you would be revealed to us in such a way that we cannot leave here without being changed tonight. I pray that you would continue to work in us that work that would conform us to the image of Christ. Father, we come to you tonight on behalf of so many here. We think of the youth, think of this baby with surgery on his skull. Lord, it just seems strange what this world is coming to, and the things that are taking place and the calamity that is around us. But how we thank you that in the midst of all of the cancer, all of the suffering, all of the mishaps and accidents and the pain and the sorrow and even death, Lord, how we thank you that you can help us to live in hope for every moment of those times. Lord, we thank you that you can lift us above the circumstances of life and allow us to walk in the heavenlies with you. Father, I pray tonight that you would help everyone in this church that serves in any way, whether serving at the door or serving with the children or the youth or just, Lord, anyone that is offering a hand of service in this church, that, Lord, your blessing would be upon them, that would be a testimony to anyone that comes through the doors of this church, that they would know that Christ is here. The Savior of the world dwells here, for within the presence of two or three, you are gathered together if we're gathered in your name. And Lord, may your presence be continually felt here, and may your influence reach out far beyond here. We think of the parade coming up. Lord, what the great possibilities that come from this. Lord, I pray that it would be more than just a float and more than just a fun time, but it would radiate the presence of Christ within the town, and that people would know that there's a living Savior. Lord, I pray that you'd be with all the preparations for the feasting and festivities for Christmas that are coming. Lord, help us to remember your great gift to us, and may our hearts be touched that you love us that much. Lord, I ask now tonight that you would guide our hearts to seek you first in your kingdom and your righteousness, that you would be honored and lifted up in all that we do and say. I'd ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, again tonight, we thank you for your faithfulness to us, for all that you constantly and continually provide on our behalf. We thank you for your mercy and grace that sees us through every day. And Lord, we know right now there are many who are not able to be here with us tonight because they're suffering physically or they have children who are ill. And Lord, I pray that you'd put your hand upon them, that you would not only heal them, but that you would encourage them, draw them close to yourself. I pray that we as a church family might be mindful in these days of reaching out to one another and being encouraging and not forgetting those who we haven't seen for a few weeks. Lord, I pray for these ministry opportunities that are coming now over the next few weeks. It's so easy simply to see these as days on the calendar and events that we do every year. Lord, may we be mindful that these are opportunities to share the gospel, to be a light in the community where you've placed us. And Lord, we just pray that you would bless our efforts. We know that our abilities are limited. We know that our talents are few. But we're not trusting in those things. We're resting in the work of your Holy Spirit in the hearts of those who will come and who will hear these presentations, who will hear these messages, who will read the literature that we hand out on Saturday. Father, I just pray that you would do in their hearts the work that needs to be done. We live in a world that more and more seems to be disinterested in spiritual things. But yet we know we live in a world where people are hungry and desperate, and they don't even know what it is that they're searching for. And so may at this season, may some come to understand the reality of the Prince of Peace and what he offers to them. Lord, again, as others have already mentioned, for these whose names have been lifted up tonight, we thank you that you know these needs. You've known them even before we mentioned them to you. And so we commit these folks to your care. We look forward to seeing your hand on them. We look forward to being able to praise you for answered prayer as you've done this week in Hemachandra's life. We thank you for that job. We thank you for others, for Tracy being here tonight, and Hannah, for the fact that they're feeling better. And so, Lord, we just pray that you'd work in all of these circumstances. Bring glory to yourself. Bless Pastor now as he comes. We pray that you'd give him recall of what he studied, that you give him liberty as he speaks, and that our hearts would be touched through the preaching of your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Pastor.
Come with me to Romans chapter 4. In chapter 4 and verse 22, it's referring to Abraham, who God imputed righteousness unto him because he believed God. It says, therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So chapter 5, we've dealt with what closed out in chapter 4, and that is justification, to be declared righteous by God, to receive the actual righteousness of the Lord imputed unto us on the basis of faith. And then in chapter 6, we won't get into chapter 6 much tonight, but beginning with chapter 6, it deals with sanctification, to be holy and separated unto God away from sin. If you look over at chapter 6 and verse 22, it says, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness, in the end, everlasting life. If you have a study Bible, it may very well reference holiness there as sanctification. For sanctification is to be declared holy by God and to be separated unto God and away from sin. So Romans deals with these important teachings that we apply in our daily lives and how we live for the Lord. No truth is more evident than the fact of death. Look at Romans 5 and verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Adam and Eve first had two sons, and they learned about death as a result of their disobedience. They were put out of the garden, and they had two sons, and one of their sons killed the other son out of envy, because God received his sacrifice and Abel's, and did not receive Cain's sacrifice because he offered the works of his hands. And that was in the very beginning of mankind, that man tried to offer God the works of his hands instead of offering him the proper sacrifice that God required. Abel offered the more excellent sacrifice in a blood sacrifice of an animal to cover his sins. And all this time, all the religions of the world are basically boiled down to, are they a religion of grace through faith with the Lord to salvation, or are they a religion of works in one form or another to try to earn salvation with God? Satan worked effectively in the life of Cain, and he killed his brother. He murdered his brother. And so death came because of their sin, and no truth's more evident than that. We see death daily. We see it on the news. We see it in the big cities by the multitudes of people in a year's time. And probably it touches families in the church here
almost yearly. It is not a respecter of age or wealth. I've had funerals for infants that passed that were premature or were stillborn when they were born. And over in Grandview Memorial Cemetery, there is a section over there with little shallow graves with little markers over there that little infants are buried in that graveyard. And how tragic it is to a mom and dad to lose a child. And it's tragic for adult parents who are aged to lose their children. It's not the norm that they should outlive their children. They expect their children to outlive them. And my father died at 74, and I'm 71 now. And my wife and I have not lost a child, thank God, or grandchild. And we have been blessed in that sense, but we've shared grief with many, many through the church who have experienced those things. And death is not a respecter of wealth. A person cannot buy themselves good health. They can spend money to buy medicine and spend money to get treatments and spend money to live better, but they can't purchase health. It's not something that can come. It may come. Physical problems can be inherited from the gene pool of your family ancestry. I've heard of ladies having breast cancer, and come to find out several ladies in their family, their sisters, have had the same issue. And sometimes it's heart disease, that people have heart disease. And it is in the gene pool of their ancestry. It also can be caused by their lifestyle. Alcohol, drugs, cigarette smoking, all those things can shorten a person's life and can cause them to suffer in health issues that are untimely and undue. But death itself is a result of man's sin. The first man was Adam. In Romans 5:12, it says, "Wherefore, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." All the descendants of Adam and Eve, every one of us here, regardless of our race or our ethnicity, we are all descendants of Adam and Eve. And that sin nature was passed on to all their children and all mankind, and it's a result of Adam's sin in the garden. Man was charged with the transgression. And let's look at verse 13 through 15 there in that passage in Romans 5. "For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come." Who is the figure of him that was to come? Is Adam was a figure of Christ. Christ is the second Adam. And Christ is the perfect man, and he was could be the sacrifice for our sins. Adam failed in disobedience. Verse 15, "But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many." I'm going to turn and read to you from 1 Corinthians 15:22. If you want to look there, I'm going to do it pretty quickly. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 22. Says, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." So we were born with the what's called Adamic nature, the nature of Adam, the sin nature passed on to all of us. But when we become believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we receive eternal life. We're delivered from the penalty that sin nature brought upon us, and that is death. Instead, we are granted life, which is everlasting and eternal. Now, David wrote something about this over in Psalm 51 in verse 4 through 10. You'll remember this is that psalm I refer to periodically in dealing with sin, where David sinned with Bathsheba and then repented and wrote this psalm acknowledging his sin before God. And he asked for God's merciful kindness to cleanse him of his sin. In Psalm 51, verse 4, "Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest." Notice what he says about his birth. "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice." Now, we don't believe David had any broken bones as a result of God's chastening. He is referring to the fact that, like a lamb, that the shepherd might break a back leg if he continued to be rebellious and run away from the flock. And if he hurt himself, or if not, the shepherd may wound him and then pick him up and carry him on his shoulders to get him back with the flock and tend to him and take care of him. And that's sort of how the Lord deals with us. He's merciful to us even though we go astray and we suffer the consequences of doing that. The word "wherefore" at the beginning of verse 12 in Romans chapter 5, "wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world." The word "wherefore" reveals that we are to look back at the previous verses to see the connection, where we are taught about the reconciliation through the atonement for our sins in verse 10 and 11. "For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement," or reconciliation with God, "through the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, many of you know, have memorized Romans 6:23. If you've memorized what we call the Roman road, in Romans 3, telling people about how we all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and in Romans 5:8, how that God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, and then chapter 6, verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." It explains that death is the penalty for sin. The wages of what we've earned for sin is death. But God wants to give us something we could not earn, that is not based on our works. It is a gift of God, and that's the person of Jesus Christ who provides redemption for us. Now, spiritual separation results in sin. Adam and Eve were put out of the garden, and they could no longer have intimate fellowship visibly with God as they had had in the garden before they committed sin. And sin separated them from the Lord. God instituted a substitute for them that had an innocent lamb to die, that's blood would cover their sin, and the skin, he made them coats to cover their nakedness. Now, I believe the teaching in the scripture is that when God created Adam and Eve, they had a glory, something like we think of angels having a glory around them. And Adam and Eve probably had a glory, and when they sinned, they lost that. They could see that they were naked. And their shame caused them to sew fig leaves together and try to cover their nakedness. And when people sin, they often try to hide their sin. They try to cover their sin in one way or another. So as People in the ministry call that they're sowing fig leaves, and we know what they're talking about. They're trying to cover their sin rather than confess their sin to God, admit their wrong to Him, and seek His cleansing and forgiveness. They had they lost their glory and they were naked. Now they begin to see not only that they were put out of the garden, not only that they were naked, but they begin to see the results of sin in their sons. When Cain kills his brother, that's a result of sin in Cain. And it resulted in the death of Abel, the spiritual son who offered God the proper sacrifice. Turn over with me to Ephesians 2. Keep your bookmark here. We'll come right back. But in Ephesians 2, beginning with verse number 1. Paul, writing to the believers at Ephesus, said, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins." We were dead to God. We had no life. We had no spiritual life when we were in sin. But He has made us alive, and that's what the word quicken means. If you cut your fingernails too close and you get some blood coming out, you got into the living part. You call that the quick. You got into the quick or the living part. And we are made alive through faith in Jesus Christ, and we're raised out of the deadness of trespass and sin, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Now, who is the prince of the power of the air? Satan. Satan is the prince of the power of the air. And we, before we were saved, walked according to this world system in which we live, that Satan is over. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, our manner of living in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. I love this verse 4. But God. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. So the aspect of sin in the lives, we are made alive through faith in Christ because we were spiritually dead. Now we have spiritual life in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Satan, that evil spirit, is the unholy god of this present world. He blinds the minds of men lest they should see the light of the Lord, the light of the gospel, and come and be saved. He blinds their minds to try to keep them lost and keep them living for their pleasures of sin and suffering the consequences of death. He is that evil spirit, that unholy god of this world. And he works through sin and temptation. He uses three things in the lives of man: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. All sin comes under those categories. They are caused by those things. Adam and Eve saw the tree, that it was good for food, and they desired it. Then in their will, they took of it and ate in disobedience to God. There's the lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life with Adam and Eve in the garden. Imagine the whole world has been plunged into death and sin because of what Adam and Eve did in the garden. And all they did really was disobey God. We do something much worse than that probably every day. Now, they also listened to Satan. Eve was deceived by Satan. She ate of the fruit and gave to her husband with her. And he ate in a willful decision. And God charged him in the sin because of that. Now, God is rich in grace and mercy. saves those who believe on Christ and grants us eternal or everlasting life. Death and sin are contagious. Death reigns over men. Sin is like a spreads like a disease, and it grows in its effectiveness, deteriorating like disease does. But sin is not a disease, it is a sin. It just works like that. And we can be delivered from that through Christ. Death and sin, death reigns over all men, but Christ delivers us from the power of sin and the penalty of sin by the price he paid on Calvary's cross, where he suffered and bled and died, was buried, and then rose again from the dead. Christ in the reign of life in Romans 5 and verse 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. It has been received by many through history, the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it abounds today. It abounds in a great way today. We have newspaper, we have radio, we have television, we have churches built, spread through the world. We have Christians in multitudes of places who can be verbal witnesses, who can use gospel tracts and printed literature. The gospel abounds today. We have more opportunity to help people find out the gospel message today than ever before. Computers and all that sort of thing can be effectively used for that. The disobedience of Adam brought death upon his descendants, the sin nature. The obedience of Christ, the one perfect God-man who willingly died our death, took sin upon himself and grants us his righteousness. God allows Christ's sacrifice to provide righteousness for us. In verse 18 in Romans 5, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. So God has blessed us with the righteousness of Christ. We are made the righteousness of God in Christ. And as we saw in 1 Corinthians, in Adam all die, but in Christ all are made alive. So thanks be unto God for these things. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1, if you would. You go over on the back of your page. Bob's already preached on Colossians 1, so hopefully I won't steal any of his thunder. Colossians 1, verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. So God presents us as holy based on what Christ has done for us in substituting himself and providing us his righteousness. Look at Romans chapter 6 now. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So this aspect in chapter 6 deals with sanctification. The Greek noun is written for you there, hagiosmos. It means to be made holy. It can be a saint is a part of that same word. It's used as separated unto God in 1 Corinthians 1:30. And several passages deal with the aspects of sanctification in the life of the believer. I've given you a list of them there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Not too many paper clips in my bow. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 is before Timothy. And verse 13. But we're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. So we see how that separation from sin works in the aspect of salvation. The list of unbelievers in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. This will be the last passage I'll turn to. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9. It says, "Know you not the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." So your past is not what's important. It's your present to know Christ as your Savior. And God washes away all the sins of the past and grants unto us everlasting life. David said when he prayed in that Psalm 51, for God to restore unto him the joy of his salvation, that he might be able to teach transgressors and sinners the way of the Lord. He needed to be cleansed of his sin to be able to teach others how they could be saved. And so sanctification, we'll put a mark there before number 4. And we'll pick up, I'll add that in the next week's lesson, and we'll pick up there in the next time. Justification and sanctification in Romans 5 and 6. Thank you for being here. Let's pray. Lord, I give you thanks for the faithfulness of your people being here tonight. We're battling traveling out of town, the weather with all this rain, the flu and colds that have gone around, and even some COVID. And so, Lord, we praise you for these that have come out to be in the house of God tonight, and for those that are watching on live streaming, we pray your blessings on them. Give safety now in traveling, and help us to walk daily with you and be thankful and appreciative of all we have and be a witness to others. Without the joy of the Lord, we won't be an effective witness. Help us to rejoice in the Lord and tell others how good you are and about your marvelous grace and mercy. Now, we love you and we thank you for these people. In Jesus' name, amen.